Finding Truth, Five Principles for Unmasking Atheism, Secularism, and Other God Substitutes, by Nancy Piercy, David C. Cook, 2015, 383 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. About the author. Nancy Piercy is a Christian intellectual and award-winning author who has taught extensively on Christianity, truth, worldviews, and culture. She is professor and scholar in residence at Houston Baptist University. Introduction. In this book, Nancy Piercy presents five principles drawn from Romans 1 that teach us how to identify errors in non-Christian worldviews. She argues that every non-Christian worldview posits an ultimate reality, an idol, that is too small and reductionistic to account for every aspect of human experience. Analyzing worldviews can help people see that Christianity is coherent and satisfying, and that all other alternatives are unable to bear the weight of their own claims. Christians need to be trained to see the weaknesses in competing views and to present a positive case for Christian truth. Piercy provides many examples of the inconsistencies and failures that plague non-Christian worldviews. She argues that everyone depends on the Christian worldview in order to function, even though many deny Christianity in theory. Table of Contents. Part 1. I Lost My Faith at an Evangelical College. Part 2. Principle 1. Twilight of the Gods. Principle 2. How Nietzsche Wins. Principle 3. Secular Leaps of Faith. Principle 4. Why Worldviews Commit Suicide. Principle 5. Freeloading Atheists. Part 3. How Critical Thinking Saves Faith. Notes. Appendix. Study Guide. Summary. Part 1. I Lost My Faith at an Evangelical College. Too many Christians are losing their faith in evangelical schools where nobody wrestles deeply with the reality and implications of the Christian worldview. Ironically, many find that they need to study hard in order to come back to God. Romans chapter 1 teaches that everyone knows God through the things that He has made. Our universe is finely tuned for the existence of life in a way which is astronomically improbable. DNA is biological information, and only intelligent sources generate information. This entails that the information in DNA is not found in its chemical composition, but in an external, intelligent source. Even the fact that the universe is intelligible and ordered points to a designer. Humans are personal, conscious beings that are inexplicable given materialism. We do not come from something impersonal, but someone personal. Our intelligence and ability to choose show that our Maker is a personal, free mind. In Romans 1, Paul moves from the fact that creation reveals God to the fact that human beings are in rebellion against Him. We suppress our knowledge of God. We are comfortable with spirituality or pantheism, but when we are confronted with the personal, living God who made us and who judges us, we draw back. Since we reject the real God, we manufacture and set up idols in His place. Idolatry is the fundamental problem of the human heart. Whatever we put in the place of God is an idol. Our idolatry, as Paul points out, has consequences. We exchange the truth for a lie. We exchange God for our idols. We exchange reality for a counterfeit worldview. We exchange morality for what is immoral. The Five Principles. Romans 1 also gives us five principles that can help us analyze and understand worldviews. The rest of this book covers these principles. The first principle is that we need to identify the idol. Anything that we put in the place of God will have to serve as an ultimate explanation and stopping point. Materialism places matter in this position, while rationalism selects reason. The second principle is to identify the idol's reductionism. Reductionism occurs when a complex reality is oversimplified and distorted. If we reduce everything to matter, then we are only atoms that have no freedom. The third principle is that we need to test the idol. Since idolatry is reductionistic, when we compare the idol to what we know about the world, we will see that it doesn't fit. There will be parts of our experience that cannot be accounted for in an idolatrous worldview. The fourth principle is that we need to test the idol again, but this time looking for internal logical consistency. Idolatrous worldviews will not match our knowledge of the external world, and they will also fail to be internally coherent. The fifth principle is that we need to replace the idol. We attempt to do so by arguing for the truth of Christianity. The biblical worldview is powerful and cogent. Part 2. Principle 1. Twilight of the Gods. Students are often confronted with difficult questions about their faith, but when they turn to older Christians, they are told to read the Bible and pray. Their concerns are chalked up to a lack of commitment, and the proposed solution to intellectual struggles is more emotional engagement. This, however, does not work. We need to train students in apologetics so that they know how to defend their faith. We need to walk them through competing ideas and worldviews. The first step is to identify the idol. Secularists often argue that they are not religious, but everyone has an ultimate commitment to something. Secularists do not believe in a personal God, but neither do many religions. Some religions think that God is an impersonal force. Even morality is not a necessary part of religion. Religions exist that conceive of God as being amoral. Other polytheistic religions believe that some of their gods are actually immoral. Religions are more like philosophies than many people think. Something has to be taken as self-existent and the ultimate reality. The new atheists and other materialists reduce reality to matter and physics and argue that natural laws explain everything. This is a religious claim. It also completely shapes their view of human nature. Empiricism is the position that only what can be scientifically studied can be known. This epistemology is often simply taken for granted. It entails, however, that we can never move from our internal thoughts to knowledge of the external world. If empiricism is the ultimate way of discovering reality, it leaves us locked in our minds, only knowing what we think about the world and not knowing what the world is actually like or even if it exists. Rationalism likewise traps us in our own minds, since we cannot know if we actually test our axioms and reason in an external world. Enlightenment thinkers try to find a God substitute that could ground their knowledge, but ended up generating epistemologies that led to skepticism. Enlightenment epistemologies were designed to reach a certainty of knowledge that was godlike, but they failed. Kant taught that our minds create the external world by organizing the sense data they receive into their own patterns and categories. The mind shapes and forms sensory input according to its own dictates. It is the creator. This results in an ability to know what we think about the world, but an inability to know what the world is actually like outside of our mental constructions and models of it. Kant was an idealist, someone who believed that mind was primary and that mind is responsible for our experience of matter. The Romantics were also idealists, seeing artists as creators and creative imagination as the epistemological authority. These philosophies and isms are the end results of rejecting God and trying to enthrone something else as ultimate. Idolaters always think that the one part that they grab hold of is really the key to the whole. Christians do not take one part of creation as the key, but look beyond creation to the transcendent God. Materialism, rationalism, empiricism, and romanticism all contain some truth, but they fail by trying to deify it. Christianity can encompass all that these other views have right while placing it all together in a coherent framework. Principle 2. How Nietzsche Wins. Students who begin to think about challenges to the faith are often left on their own to wrestle with life's most difficult questions. Some students read Nietzsche and find that his scathing criticisms of the church are convincing. They often fail to consider the positive side of Christianity's impact on the world. Yet Nietzsche and other reductionistic philosophies are dehumanizing and pave the way for destructive behavior. Idols do not allow idolaters to live in a way which is consistent with ethical ideals. Many people, if forced to think about it, can see that their worldview framework does not provide a justification for their morals. Reductionistic worldviews try to fit all of reality into their box, but they are too small. Unfortunately, what doesn't fit has to be cut off or ignored. Eliminative materialism maintains that consciousness and the self, the I, do not really exist. They reject everything that is not material, and consciousness isn't. Other materialists, however, cannot bring themselves to deny that consciousness is real, so they insist that it emerged from matter. But consciousness and physical matter have completely different attributes. Materialists cannot make sense of consciousness, but it cannot be simply dismissed as illusory. Materialism has no room in its box for human consciousness, which is a fundamental fact of human life. materialism is reductionistic. Romanticism posits that the metal, rather than the material, is ultimate. Soul stands as the highest type of being. Hegel thought that the universal mind was evolving with the world. Hegel's philosophy and idealism have been highly influential in continental philosophy, which has passed through existentialism to postmodernism. Hegel believed that individual thoughts were the thoughts of the universal mind. This was reduced by later generations to mean that our thinking is the product of other forces, cultural, economic, etc. Postmodernism absolutizes the community and argues that all of our thinking is controlled by our social groups. When one community insists that it actually has the truth, this is interpreted as an expression of will to power. Postmodernism does have some useful insights, but the issues of bias, prejudice, fallibility, and hidden motives were already exposed long ago by the biblical authors. In postmodernism, people are dehumanized and reduced to the puppets of their social group. Postmodernism is also culturally localized. Political correctness is also an expression of narrow morality, and claims that postmodernism are true are expressions of power. The only way to escape the trap of postmodernism is to recognize that the transcendent, unconditioned God has communicated with us. In pantheism, God is everything and everything is God. This destroys personal identity. In fact, individuality is called an illusion, and the ultimate reality, God, is impersonal. Pantheists make spirit ultimate, but their view is just as impersonal as the materialists. Islam claims that Allah is personal, but his oneness is so radical that he does not exist in internal relationships, unlike the Trinity. Allah requires absolute submission, and our lives are fatalistically determined by his will. Both Allah and human beings have diminished personhood compared to their status within the Christian view. All of our reductionisms and ideas have consequences. When people are dehumanized and an idol is set up as a replacement god, those who don't fit are dealt with harshly. Nazism and communism killed countless millions. Those who start out as liberators become despots and tyrants. Only the Christian view allows us to honor the true God and honor one another. Principle 3. Secular leaps of faith. We need to test our theories in real life to see if they actually allow us to function. If our theoretical worldview does not allow us to live in a way which is consistent with experience, there is a problem. Since reductionistic worldviews do not allow their adherents to make sense of all of their experience, the worldview inevitably fails. For example, many worldviews destroy human freedom by making all of our thoughts and actions the products of deterministic processes that are outside of our control. Yet every culture has believed that people are responsible for what they do and that they have sufficient freedom to be moral agents. Worldviews that do not account for this belief that is generated by human experience are inadequate. Galen Strawson is a world-class philosopher who believes that philosophy demonstrates the impossibility of free will. Yet Strawson also acknowledges that we cannot live with this belief. Our psychology and our rationality find themselves in irreconcilable tension at this point. This problem is generated when an idolatrous, reductionistic worldview clashes with the inescapable reality of God's general revelation. The result for many is that they have chosen to live in a double-minded way. They accept their theory intellectually, but neglect it practically. Secularists need to reject freedom as a myth, but then embrace the myth in order to live. Those who are self-conscious about this tension say that their experience of freedom is a helpful and necessary illusion. They are bumping against the truth of general revelation, but unable to accept it. Richard Dawkins has written that we are not responsible for what we do, and as a result, we should not punish people, we should try to fix them. Yet he has also acknowledged that this view is unlivable and would make life intolerable. Both Einstein and Kant asserted that we must live as if we had free will. These constructs are said to be useful fictions, but fiction is fiction, and the worldview is irrational. Some thinkers even say that although they know we are like biological robots, that idea is repugnant, and if people fully accept it, they are psychopathic. Again, anyone holding such a worldview is living in contradiction. This inconsistency cannot be maintained forever. If our rationality dehumanizes others, our treatment of them will erode. The presence of love, values, consciousness, and freedom create difficulties in other worldviews, but they find a positive home in Christianity. The Christian worldview allows people to live without the cognitive and practical conflicts that plague other perspectives. In postmodernism, we see the denial of knowledge, but postmoderns still live as if they have knowledge of an external world. This is because the world is created by God and is an objective reality. Today, many people live as modernists in regard to science and medicine, but try to live as postmoderns in regard to ethics and religion. Their lives are fractured. Apologetics should be used to help people see these inconsistencies and to see that Christianity is not plagued by these problems. Principle 4. Why worldviews commit suicide. Even when biologists deny that life is designed, they use design-type thinking when they are examining organisms. Body parts have purposes, and they function only when multiple parts each do their job. Scientists have to operate as if design is real, but their worldview may keep them from accepting the obvious conclusion that things look as if they were designed because they are designed. Idolatrous worldviews always self-destruct. They use criteria for analysis that end up refuting their own position. We need to learn how to spot and expose the contradictions that lurk in other worldviews. In the 20th century, logical positivism was an enormously influential philosophical position that dismissed as nonsense anything that could not be known through analytical rationalism or scientific empiricism. Their central principle for verification, however, failed its own test. In other words, it could not be verified according to its own criteria. The entire system was discredited. Many of the most influential thinkers of the last two centuries have propounded theories that undercut themselves. They fail because the reductionism is always too small to support itself. Christianity, however, provides a view of reality that is ordered and coherent, and is also designed so that we know it. A Christian epistemology is not self-refuting. In fact, whenever people reason and interact with the external world, they are operating as if the Christian view is true. Materialism entails that our thoughts are nothing more than the product of physical events, but this reduces thought to the level of other bodily processes, none of which is rational. Given materialism, the brain non-rationally produces a belief in materialism, but there is no more reason to accept that this thought is true than there is to believe that other bodily processes produce truth. Evolutionary theory also destroys epistemology. If our brains are evolved for survival rather than the discovery of truth, then we have no reason to trust our brains, and therefore no reason to believe that evolution is true. False beliefs can also aid survival, like the materialist view of free will being a necessary illusion that persists as a survival aid. It is no surprise that the discipline of science arose out of a conviction that Christianity was true and that the world was created by God to be intelligible and knowable. Christian truth was the foundation for our trust in our own minds. Postmodernism is self-refuting because it has to exempt itself from its claim that all claims are relative and localized. Postmoderns have to make their claim universal, even though they claim there are no universal claims. Postmodern deconstructionism asserts that all texts are simply the products of cultural forces, not authors, and they are all subjective. Yet they want their own texts to be treated as somehow transcending this problem. The fear that postmoderns have is that absolute truth is used to tyrannize others. This does happen in idolatrous worldviews, but Christianity teaches a universal moral code that forbids it. Ironically, postmodernism has taught a tolerance that is intolerant, and it has denounced imperialism but has become imperialistic, and it does so by dismissing those who disagree as being captives to non-rational systems, the systems that they themselves have somehow escaped. Postmodernism cannot work out the reality of unity and diversity, individuals and community. The solution is found in the Christian view of the Trinity, where individual personality is found in community. God creates us as individuals, but He has also determined that we are social beings. Christian witness is tied to our love and community relationships. Because Christianity is not reductive, it can incorporate the truths of other worldviews while avoiding their mistakes. Principle 5. Freeloading Atheists. The Christian worldview is more than just theology. Christians need to learn how to apply their worldview in every area of life and in whatever field they find themselves. Other worldviews must borrow from Christian principles in order to function, and Christians need to learn to see where this is occurring. For example, moral relativists dismiss all claims of universal right and wrong, yet they are usually incensed by racism and feel morally superior to those who take stands other than their own. Christianity provides a natural home for morality, and relativists actually sneak into Christian truth whenever they make moral claims. In fact, the idea of equality and human rights came from Christianity. The atheist philosopher Richard Rorty even candidly admits that he is a freeloader who borrows from Christianity to ground human rights. In the same way that Christianity is necessary for human rights and morality, Christianity is also necessary for science. As a discipline, science arose in the Western world because people believed that God had ordered the universe and created us with the ability to discover its principles. Natural laws were only reliable because they were rationally designed. Materialism simply cannot ground the scientific enterprise. Thomas Nagel is a prominent atheist philosopher who admits that materialism is false, acknowledges that the Christian worldview provides what we need, but nevertheless won't accept it. He borrows from it because he needs to, but he refuses to accept that it's true. Examples could be multiplied. The reason why this borrowing needs to occur is that idolatrous worldviews are always too small. Currently, there are atheists who are consciously trying to replace our feeling that we need God with alternatives like philosophy and ritual. Atheist churches are being organized. Reverence and awe, worship, are directed towards the material universe and the grand theory of evolutionary development. Secularism is a religious worldview, yet it is unable to satisfy. Only in Christianity do we find a truth that is profound enough to make sense of all of our life experience and knowledge. The other side of the coin is that if God doesn't exist, then everything is meaningless and nihilistic. The church needs to help people see the truth of Christianity, but also to see the vacuity of the alternatives. When people reject Christianity, we need to help them see the futility of what they have accepted. Many people never test their own worldview. When they do, they are often surprised by how inadequate it is. Part 3. How Critical Thinking Saves Faith. Critical thinking and Christianity are not incompatible. Christians need to learn how to be critical thinkers. In our day, it is impossible to avoid competing claims and worldviews. Those who do not study them are the ones who are most likely to be influenced by them. When we use the principles taught in Romans 1 and analyze worldview claims, we can be confident in the veracity of Christianity. Many times, worldview messages come to us in stealth, embedded in books and movies. We need to discern them and evaluate them, always being on guard. Worldview messages are also embedded in art and music. The visual arts are based on epistemologies. Impressionism was based on empiricism, not objects, but a collection of sense impressions are painted. Abstract art was consciously connected to pantheism. Objects were blurred because they are illusions, and the painting attempts to draw us out of the world of objects to a transcendent, impersonal void. Some postmodern artists intentionally try to create art that is incoherent and uninterpretable. Many of the most popular theologies of the last century have been forged on the anvil of secular philosophy. Existential theology, liberation theology, feminist theology, and much more have been based on unbiblical and insufficient philosophies. Many Christians go to study at seminaries and Christian universities and are simply unprepared to have their faith mocked as naive. If we were better prepared to spot false philosophies, this would not be so prevalent. We need to do a better job of positively presenting the Christian method using literature, art, music, and movies. Lecrae is a good example of a Christian rapper who was converted out of a wild gang member life and has used that culture's music to spread the truth of God and the gospel. Christianity must not be reduced to a message about personal salvation. It is the total truth and transforms everything. The sacred-secular divide is false. Christianity is about all of life. Copyright 2015, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.